Bibles out and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. You can, if you were here this morning, you already know what chapter we're going to be in. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Let me just say this. We are really looking forward to next week, next Sunday in our homecoming service. We're excited about the message that God has placed upon my heart to give to you. And I'm excited about having Solid Rock here. I'm excited about having perhaps some old but familiar faces here back at Sharon Baptist Church for a good time of homecoming. And don't forget that as soon as we get done, we'll be going to the fellowship hall. We'll be eating and then coming back around 1:30, maybe 1:15-ish, depending on how things are going. And then the Solid Rock will play again for about an hour or so. And then we'll be dismissed for the afternoon. So just keep praying for that God would continue to work in the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls, particularly as we think about homecoming and what homecoming means and where we are at Sharon Baptist Church. Coming up our anniversary, it will be about 55 years, right, Miss Gail? 55 years. And so that's very exciting. Pastor James, if you could just turn me down just a little bit. I'm really, really hot for some reason tonight. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We're going to begin reading in verse number 8 down through verse number 15 as we get started here this evening. So if you found your place, let's stand. And we'll give respect to the reading of God's Word, 2 Corinthians 8. Verse number 8 down through verse number 15. The Bible says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Somebody say glory, hallelujah, about for that statement. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, for their abundance also may be a supply for your want, but there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and your love to us. Father, thank you for your word, Father, how it speaks to every trial and every problem, every predicament, Father, and everything that we stand in need of here in this world. And Father, even when it comes to this idea of grace giving, Father, your word provides us some direction in that area as well. So, Father, to many of us, this might be old hat and old news, Father, but may it be restored and reminded deep in our recesses of our mind, Father, the importance of this grace-giving and faith promise missions-giving. Father, for those that have never heard this preached before and taught before, never practiced this, God, I pray their hearts might be open, Father, to what you would have for them to do in this area of grace-giving. So, Father, we love you, we thank you, we seek to give you honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated this evening. As we begin this morning, we began to speak about the preparation of grace giving. And we talked about the process of grace giving. And we said that grace giving involved a relationship with God. It involved a relationship with other people. And then we saw not only the process of grace giving, but we saw the people of grace giving. And we said that we ought to give in spite of our problems. We saw that we ought to give in spite of our poverty, or even in spite of the prosperity that God might have blessed us with. But then we saw that we are to give with power. Basically, we said this, that no matter if you believe you live in poverty or prosperity, you have the power to be able to give. And then we talked about we are to give with prayer. Verse 4, Paul says, praying us with much entreaty. And we saw here that the church at at the church at Macedonia was so excited about their giving, they basically begged the Apostle Paul to let them give. And then we moved on from there. We saw the participation of grace giving in verses 5 through verse number 7. And the Bible said, in this they did. And we saw that grace giving is something that everyone could get involved with, whether you're a little child or you're an adult, a teenager, or you're in your senior years. It's something all of us can participate in. And we said that Paul says in verse number 7 that this grace giving is something that we all should abound in. And then fourthly, we saw the prerequisite of grace giving in verse number 5. And let's look at that verse, chapter 8, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So we understood that the prerequisite for our giving in this area of grace giving was that God must have us. 100% of us. We talked about discipleship in our Be the Church series. We talked about servanthood, and we understood this, that if we're going to be a servant for the Master, that means that we're obedient to Him and Him alone, and that whatever His bidding is for us, that we ought to do it. And so we find we ought to be obedient in this area of grace giving as well. So after looking at this morning, the preparation for grace giving, which by the way, we could say is really giving ourselves. That's the preparation. Learn to give yourself. Next, we're going to move to the performance of grace giving. The performance of grace giving. And guess what? This moves from giving yourself to hang on to your seats. It's giving your money. See, we move from giving ourselves to giving our money. You see, a lot of us are willing to give ourselves, and we'll say, okay, Pastor Dave, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just tell me what you need to do. I'll do it. I'll wash the buses. I'll work the nursery. I'll do whatever needs to be done. And we limit God in that fashion. But we find here in this area of grace giving, it moves from beginning to give ourselves, and the natural outflow of that should be that we would give our money. As a way of illustration, one Sunday several years ago, there was a pastor that was preached on everything he knew about giving. Listen, he was covering faith promise. He was covering grace giving. He was covering tithes and offerings and love gifts. There was nothing about finances and giving of God's people that he didn't preach about. Let me just stop here for a moment and say this. I learned a long time ago in my early days of pastoring the local New Testament churches and pastoring and being a part of associate pastor and assistant pastor and assistant to the pastor, that there's no need for the man of God to be timid in this area of giving. You know, he does. If God lays it upon his heart, if it's grace giving time, preach on money, preach on finances, be fervent about it, be red hot about it. I found this out, that the only people that complain about preaching on money are those who don't give anyhow, amen. So just preach it red hot and just trust the Lord to do the work. Well, once this preacher got finished preaching his sermon, one of the deacons came up to him and he leaned on the pulpit and he said, you know, Pastor, he said, Jesus had his sermon on the mount, but you have the sermon on the amount, amen. I thought that was pretty good, amen. The sermon on the amount. I'm not going to have a sermon on the amount. The amount is between you and the Lord, but the area of grace giving, that should be between me and that should be between you, because God has set it apart in His Word as a way that He finances the work of worldwide New Testament missions. Remember that grace giving is God's funding, His program through His people for local New Testament churches. The need in this world, if you think about it, is overwhelming. When you consider that over half of the I just looked this up. You know, if you don't know anything, guess what you go? You do what? You'll Google it, right? So I Googled it, and I Wikipedia it just to double check, and it's true. 7.6 billion people on Earth, and it's a little bit more than that, but that number was too big to write down, so just trust me. 7.6 billion people are on Earth, and more than half of those people have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, and probably less than 10% of those 7.6 billion people have never heard a presentation of the gospel that they truly understood and were brought under conviction by the Holy Spirit of God. If you listen closely, you can hear the Macedonian call coming from all parts of the world. And the cry goes something like this: come over and help us, according to Acts chapter 16 and verse number 9. That's what the vision the Apostle Paul said: come over and help us. So what's the answer? Well, I think there's two choices. Number one, you can surrender and go yourself to start new churches all over the world, and there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe God is speaking to your heart about formalizing your training and be able to go to the mission field. I would encourage you to do that. Listen, there's nothing more blessed than to have a missionary being sent from the local New Testament church. Maybe God is speaking to your heart about that. Maybe God is speaking to someone's heart and say, well, I don't know about that, but God is speaking to my heart about surrendering my life to preach the gospel, and I have the assurance from his word, and I believe God has called me to preach. Listen, then you surrender yourself and you get to preaching, amen. Maybe you're here and you say, well, I don't know about that, but I believe God would have me to go to a good Bible college such as Crown College of the Bible or the Crown College of the Bible or wherever God was leading you, that they teach the truth of God's word, and maybe he wants you to go there. You know, I like Crown College. The Crown College of the Bible, excuse me. I always forget that word, because there is a Crown College of the Bible in Tennessee, but it's not the Crown College of the Bible in Knoxville, amen, where my son and Pastor James went and received his master's degree from. And they not only have Christian colleges nowadays for people going to the mission field and going to be preachers, Crown College, the Crown College of the Bible, they offer all sorts of trades they have now. Other schooling, other schools have trades and other degrees. And so I want to encourage you and encourage your children to look toward a fundamental Christian college where God can set them up for his use for the remainder of their days. Well, I don't know how I got on that, but I did get on that. So what's the answer? You can surrender yourself and go to the mission field yourself, or if you're like most people, they would say, I don't know if that's for me, Pastor, but you know what? I'll support people and I'll send people to go there, basically as long as God don't ask me to go. But if he does, I'll be willing to go. But you understand, we're still human. We're still people, amen. Sometimes it's a scary thought when we step out in faith. Our text really just shows the importance of people who are willing to exercise in this area of grace giving. Keep in mind this, that grace giving is giving sacrificially and by faith. That's what grace giving is. It's not giving what you believe you can afford. It's giving what God tells you to give, whether or not you can afford it or not. That's what grace giving is. It's sacrificially and by faith. It's not a bartering service between you and God, where God lays a number on your heart and you say, well, that's a little bit too high. How about a little bit less? And then God would say, well, how about a little bit more? And you say, well, how about a little less? That's not what it's about. It's about you praying, asking God to give you the amount that he wants you to give. You say, well, what if God wants me to give a little amount? Say, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah, amen. He must want the rest of your capital to be used somewhere else for the work and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not the amount, it's the praying and putting forth the effort to seek God's will. It's not a bartering service. So we give with faith to believe that God will give us back in order to give him more. And that's what faith promise is all about. Notice in verse number 8 down through verse number 11, notice grace giving proves the sincerity of your love. We'll not read these verses again, but we have a great challenge in verse number 8. It says, I speak not by commandment, by the occasion, the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. And so we find the Apostle Paul, he's saying to the churches at Corinth, he said, listen, I want you to prove the sincerity of your love. Not only your love for the saints in Jerusalem, but the love of God, and even no doubt for the love of him. He said, prove yourself. And then we have a great challenge here in verse number 8. Paul's providing the church at Corinth an opportunity to prove their love by just giving of their financial means that they have. You know, many years ago, I proved the sincerity of my love to Diana when I asked her to marry her. I asked her to marry her, and guess what? I gave her a diamond ring, and it was a solitaire ring, and it was gold. You know, ladies, they don't really have solitaires anymore, and if you want gold, you have to special order, and it could be months and months before you get it. Now, platinum or silver is the way that seems to be going. I just kind of prefer gold, and so I asked her to marry me, and I really proved the sincerity of my love to her, and we sealed it with a ring. So we have a great challenge here. But notice in verse number 9, not only do we have a great challenge, we have a great Christ. And Jesus himself became the greatest illustration of what grace giving means. Verse 9 says, "For we know that the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." Boy, you know, if you look at that from a worldly wise kind of standpoint, you can't figure it out. It doesn't even make sense. And how could this be? How could, because he became poor, how can it make us rich? And why would he was rich and full of everything, give everything up so he could be poor so that we could be rich? Doesn't make any worldly sense, but thank God that it doesn't. But it makes sense when you understand really what Jesus Christ has done for us. So we have a great challenge. We have a great Christ, and Jesus Christ himself became this great illustration of what grace giving means. He had everything in heaven, and he left it all to intentionally become poor on our behalf, and ultimately gave himself. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 15, it says that he himself, as the unspeakable gift. He gave himself to you and I as that unspeakable gift, and not only for you and I, but for all mankind. He gave us the unspeakable gift for all the world, and he demonstrated that his self-sacrifice is the proper test of love. You see, Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary, and he proved the sincerity of his love for you and I, his love for all the world, by dying on the cross for a wretched world that would reject him and men would crucify him and hang him on a cross. But yet, he proved the sincerity of his love for you and I. We have a great challenge. We have a great Christ. Look in verses 10 and 11. We have a great concern. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, and there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performing also out of that which we have. You see, Paul was concerned about their eagerness to give. Notice in verse number 11, he talks about their readiness to will. Paul says, thank God that you were ready to give. I'm glad that you made up your mind to give, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Paul was concerned also about their performance. It's one thing to talk about giving. It's another thing to do it. And that's what the Apostle Paul is nailing down here in verses 10 and verse number 11. He says, thank God for your willingness to give. He said, now, you need to perform that which you promised over a year ago. You know, a lot of people have a readiness to give, but never move to the performance of the giving. You know, they'd say, yes, I want to give. I'm going to give to the cause of Christ. I'm going to give this, and I'm going to give that, and I'm going to do that. But they never move to the performance of it. And the Apostle Paul's basically saying, listen, I'm giving you my advice. It's expedient. It's beneficial for you to do what you have promised to do over a year ago. When we think about our missions giving here at Sharon Baptist Church, you understand that our missionary obligation each and every month is $4,457. That is what we have obligated to our missionaries that we have sent out all across the world, including the United States of America, along with our Bible scholarship fund, along with other things that we do as well. It totals somewhere around $53,100. That's what our obligation is. That's what we have told missionaries, that you go by faith, and as God sends it into us, we'll send it out to you to a tune of $53,100 or $4,457 a month for that. But you know, about this time last year, we took up our total stewardship commitment, and that stewardship commitment was something like this. We had promised God, as he promised, as he would be faithful to bring it in, we would give this amount each and every month, $6,546.17. $6,546.17. You know what that equates to in a year? $78,544. Man alive, that is a lot of money that we could support missionaries with. So you look at our total financial giving as we would look at year to date as we and our mission year begins November. November 2018, right? November 2018 through the end of October, which is coming up. We don't have October's numbers yet, but we have September's numbers. So for 11 months of the year, our giving to date is $64,624. So we had promised God that we would give $78,544. And with just a couple of weeks to go left in our mission year, $64,624 has come in. That's not including what has come in today and for the rest of this month. So when you look at that, we could see that we're in a deficit of $13,919.86. You see, that's what we as a church had promised God that we would give. But yet we had a readiness of mind to give, but the performing of that faith promise is $13,919.86. We're still lacking that to come in. I don't know about you. I think I have a lot of faith. I do have a lot of faith. But you know what? I'm not sure, based on our giving in just three more short weeks. I hope and pray that it does. You see, I'm simply just setting the message to help you understand this, that there's one thing to have a readiness to will in verse number 10, verse number 11, but then the performance of it is something different. And oftentimes we're guilty of this, of using our faith promise money for things that really that we haven't promised God we would do with that money. And listen, you made a vow to God, and it's better to not make a vow than make a vow and not do what God has asked you to do. Listen, this faith promise money, this grace giving offering that we receive, doesn't benefit the church in any way, as I said in this morning's message. We don't get new buses because you give or don't give this. What happens is we can't send out as many missionaries as we would desire and like to do. So we ought to have a great concern, as the Apostle Paul says, and all of us ought to look at our missions giving and just make sure that we are where we have promised God that we would be. So you say, well, how am I going to accomplish this challenge? How am I going to put this challenge to work? Well, number one, understand this, that God will never ask you to do something that He will not enable you to do so. God will never ask you to give an amount of money that you're not able to do so. You say, well, what if the amount is more than I think I can afford in my budget? Listen, that's between you and the Lord. Remember, we saw from this morning's message that you're not the enabler. Your husband is not the enabler. Your wife or your parents or your children or your pastor is not the enabler. God is the enabler. And if God lays the amount on your heart, then be faithful and give what God had told you to give, because He will make it come true. So when God leads us to make a stewardship commitment in grace giving, you can understand this, that He will provide it. You say, well, I'm on a fixed income. I can't give the faith promise. I beg to tell you different. I believe that everyone can make a faith promise as God lays it upon your heart. Now listen, I want you to have faith, but be realistic about it. If you have no income whatsoever, and all of a sudden you say, well, God's leading me to give $20,000 a month to faith promise. Well, glory, hallelujah, but understand that you have more faith than perhaps I would have. So we want to be realistic, but you don't base your giving. Maybe you want to pray again and say, well, God, maybe I misinterpreted it. Maybe it's only $2,000 a month, or maybe it's $200 a month. I don't know. But I'm just saying that you balance your faith with God. And sometimes we get in trouble because our heart wants to give and our heart wants to do this. But really, God, that's not what God has for us. So I'm not saying for you not to give what God lays upon your heart. Believe me, I am not. I'm just saying that you step out by faith and trust the Lord what God would have you to give it. You say, well, how can I do that? Even if I'm on a fixed income, I don't work any overtime. I only work part-time. How can I do that? Well, understand this. When God lays that amount on your heart, he can do it five different ways. Number one, he can increase your supply. I don't know how God does it. Just like about the time your car breaks down, overtime happens, or a check comes in the mail, or just your birthday money perhaps comes in from your mother. She sends you a $20 bill or a $50 bill. I don't know what your mom does. My mom for a very long time would send me a $20 bill or $25 check for my birthday, and we appreciated that. But God can increase your supply. You know, he could. That's the way he worked. The second way you can accomplish this challenge of grace giving is by decrease your spending. You know, sometimes God would say, you know what, with this mission giving, sometimes there's some sacrifice involved. And God says, I want you to decrease your spending. And maybe you don't buy a latte every day when you're on your way to work and stop and get a Dunkin' Donut or a peanut butter donut at Sheetz with a large cup of coffee. And that's what I used to love to do. They have some wonderful peanut butter donuts. If you like peanut butter donuts at Sheetz, you go by there, oh, man, they're just tremendous. And this time of year, I'm just saying this because I think they ought to build a Sheetz in Hampton because I'd be there every day. They have a harvest spice kind of coffee. Oh, man, it's just wonderful. But you know what? Sometimes you have to decrease your spending and not buy those donuts, and maybe God would have you get this. Pack your lunch. You remember what that is? Amen. Henry packs his lunch every day, doesn't he? Amen. My boys, just about every day when they were in high school, packed their lunch for the first couple of years, every day. My son is so sick and tired of ham sandwiches, he tells his wife, never buy ham sandwiches. Now, he likes ham that is salt cured and you cut it off. He loves that, but he doesn't want a ham sandwich. We did him in. Pack your lunch. Decrease your spending. Number three, he can give you wisdom to be good stewards of what he already has. And maybe God's not going to increase your supply. Maybe God is not going to decrease your spending. But he says, this is how you can be a little smarter in how you manage your money. And I think all of us could be good stewards of what God would want us to do. And then we understand this, that God will give us grace to sacrifice. When it comes to sacrificing, God will give us the grace to do that. And then lastly, God can perform the supernatural. You say, what do you mean by that, the supernatural? I mean, I used this illustration before, that when my boys were very little and they were looking for their faith promise, and God would have to provide the supernatural. They would come to Dad's chair where he would sit, you know, after home from work and gather the change out of the thing, and they would count up the change, and praise the Lord, they made their faith promise of a dollar. I can remember my son Stephen. He loved to give a dollar, amen. That was his faith promise as a little boy, and Joshua, his was like $5 as a little bit older boy, and so a month, and so they would, God would have to supernaturally provide for them. Sometimes he might use dad or mom to put some extra change that would slip out to provide them with their faith promise. But they understood this, that God was providing that for him. And I want them to understand the importance of that. Well, we see that as we talk about our commitment and the challenge we have and the great concern, and chapter 9, we move to the second thought of grace giving, and this grace giving proves the sincerity of your church. And we'll not take the time to read these verses, but we find this in verse number chapter 9, verses 1 down through verse number 5. We see the church provides boasting for others in verses 1 through 4. And Paul was boasting about grace giving of the churches at Corinth to the churches of Macedonia in verses 2 through verse number 4. You know, today when you go to preachers' fellowships and preachers' meetings, you know what they boast about? They talk about and they boast about their numbers. They talk about how many they had in attendance on Sunday. They talk about how many buses they have and how many kids are riding on the buses. Sometimes they promote themselves. Sometimes they promote their programs or they talk about their buildings and things like that. But very rarely, and much to my demise, does anyone ever say, praise God that we are giving over $65,000 a year to missions. They don't talk about how God is doing. They talk about what they are doing. And grace giving proves the sincerity of your church. The church provided a bounty for others in verse number 5 of 2 Corinthians 9. Look at verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. So we see that grace giving is the best antidote that I know for covetousness. You have a problem with covetousness, coveting other people's things, coveting things. Listen, grace giving provides you a way out of that sin of covetousness. Grace giving focuses the heart on doing for other people, as the Apostle Paul says in verse 5, rather than hoarding unto yourself. You know, we just have so much stuff. So many things and so much stuff. Sometimes it would probably do what's best just to simplify our life just a little bit, if you really think about that. Well, grace giving proves the sincerity of the church, but then notice in verses 6 through 15, we find that grace giving proves the sincerity of your faith. Notice verse number 6, we find the principle of giving. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Here is the law of the harvest, the irrefutable law of the harvest. He who sows little, guess what, is going to reap little. He who sows bountifully are going to receive unlimited and bountiful blessings from God the Father. The Christian paradox is found in Proverbs 11 and verse 25, where it says, "This is that scattereth and yet increaseth." So we find as we give out, the Bible says that God is going to give back to us. Now, he doesn't give back to us to make us richer or make our coffers even bigger than they already are or you desire them to be. He wants us to give, so as we scatter, he'll give back to us. So guess what? That we can scatter more. And the more we scatter, the more that God is going to give back and the more that we can be used of him. I think that's why some people in this world, God has really blessed financially, because they have this principle down. They understand they don't own anything. It's all God's. And the more they give, the more God gives to them. And the more God gives them, the more they can give out. And they're caught in a perpetual cycle of sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping. And their whole life is filled with sowing and reaping in a good sense. But then there's the rest of the world where they sow little, but then they don't gather little, and they're caught in a perpetual cycle as well. They'll give a little and be blessed just a little, and they only give a little and be blessed a little. And so the idea is simply this, that you scatter a lot and be blessed a lot as you increase back to you. I remember what our Lord said in Matthew 6 and verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Now notice these next words, "Shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." I was preaching on tithing at the First Church where I was the senior pastor at, and I used this verse as a basis for a series. And boy, this one old saint of God, I can never forget her. She was a godly lady and a mature lady. Maybe you would even call her a sophisticated kind of northern lady. And boy, she had a heart for children. And she would have Bible clubs and backyard Bible clubs, children evangelism fellowship, anything that had to do with children, that's where she was. She wanted to reach the children. And her thought was this: you reach a child and you have them for their whole life. And so I preached this message, and she came up to me afterwards. She said, "Pastor, I never noticed this before. I quoted this verse. I told this verse to my children before, but I never jumped out at me where it says, 'Shall men give unto your bosom?'" You see, God doesn't always just supernaturally, you wake up one day and you'll find thousands of dollars in your checking account because you gave the faith promise this month. It might happen. If it does, praise God. Double check with the bank. Make sure nothing went wrong. I read a story not too long ago about a couple who woke up one day and guess what, Nola? $100,000 was deposited in their bank. You know what they did, Henry? They said, "Glory to God." And I don't know what they said. They said, "We're going on a spending spree." They bought new cars. They bought a yacht. They didn't even live near water. They just wanted the yacht. They spent it all. But guess what? About 63 days later, came a knock on their door. Guess who it was? They were being arrested for stealing and defrauding the bank of all this money. You know what they said was? Well, it was in our account, you know. And they said, and the bank auditors and the bank and the district attorney literally threw the book at them. They ended up spending 14 years in jail for that $100,000 that they spent. And I don't know how long they ended up staying in there. As far as I know, they're still in prison at this time. So I'm simply saying this. God doesn't normally do that. But, you know, he could if he wanted to. I told you the story before that at one time that we were moving from one place to the next, and I had an account that had a savings account, and really I didn't really know there was any money into it until about a year and a half later. They're doing an audit. It was on a military base. They were doing an audit at the bank, and they found out that I wasn't stationed there. They sent me a check for $260-some. I'm like, praise God, amen. What was that? I believe that's because we have sowed, and God gave it back to us. So God can do that, but not necessarily does he always do that. But here it says, shall men give unto your bosom. God generally uses other brothers and sisters or other men. He can use the lost to meet your needs. And so understand, shall men give unto your bosom. With the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Then in verse 7, we find the purpose in giving. Verse chapter 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And again, this is not speaking about the tithe, although some people try to equate this with, in the context of chapter 8 and chapter 9, it's speaking about giving of the gifts, something over and above what the Old Testament we would command, that God would command as a tithe. And he says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. That means that you get with God. Ask God, what would you have me to give? So grace giving is an individual matter. I can't tell you how much to give. Only God can do that. And the person deciding the amount should be informed but not pressured. And so we don't want to pressure anybody. All I'm pressuring you to do is seek God's will. And you know what? I can't speak for God in every case, but if God would say give a little amount, then you give a little amount. If God would say give a great amount, you give a great amount. Just do what God would have you to do. Notice that word purposes. That word purposes is in a perfect tense in the Greek language, which means that after I make a decision, nothing should stop me from giving it. Once I have sealed and cemented this idea of grace giving or my faith promise, nothing should stop me from giving. Then notice there is the promise in giving in verses 8 through verse number 13. We find in verse number 8 that God's able to supply the need. That's why I said that God will supply that need. In verse 8 said, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. What kind of grace? The grace of giving, as outlined here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. That ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So we see that God is able to supply the need, and God is able not only to supply the need, but multiply that need in verse number 9 and 10. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now that he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed shall increase the fruits of your righteousness. So we are to understand that God not only supplies, but he multiplies as we sow that seed. And then in verse 12, we find that God is able to supply also the needs of the people in the other country, which is now Jerusalem in verse 12. For the administration of the service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but it is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. In verses 11 through 12, we find not only the purpose in giving, we find the promise in giving. And then in verses 11 through 15, we can say there is praise in giving as well. And God received thanksgiving. God received glory. God receives praise by our giving. But when we give to our missionaries, guess what? They thank God for the gifts that was given to them that month. They give God honor and glory. They praise Him. They are thankful for the gift that God provided for them. Just as you give by faith, they receive by faith. And you say, is it any different? It's no different. Listen, I think it could be greater for them. They're stepped off to a foreign country. They can't work overtime. There's no way they can make any kind of extra money. And so we find that God receives honor and glory with that. And we'll close with this. David said in 2 Samuel 24 and verse number 24 and the last part of that verse, he said, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord of my God of that which doth not cost me anything. So David says, God, I'm not going to give you a sacrifice unless it costs me something. Everything that we do in our life for Jesus Christ costs us something. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's emotions. Sometimes it's physical needs. Sometimes it's spiritual. But everyone must decide if they have the faith to bountifully give to God. You have to come to a conclusion, a point in your life, and say, am I going to give by faith bountifully to God? Am I going to trust in His grace? Am I going to trust Him to provide and meet the needs that He has said He wanted me to give? See, grace giving and encourages us as born-again believers to look to Christ Himself and maybe pray a prayer something like this. Dear Lord, I will trust You each week for this amount. I alone could not give. How much, Lord, would that be? That would be our prayer. Jesus said this in Mark 11 and verse 22, have faith in God. That's what it's all about. Faith promise, grace giving. Then in Hebrews 11, in verse number 6, Paul writes this as we close. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. How big is your faith? Well, we saw the preparation of grace giving this morning. That's where we give yourself. That's where it starts at. Listen, if you don't begin there, the performance of grace giving, which is giving your money, I promise you, is never going to come or never going to be sustained throughout the mission year. Prepare yourself for grace giving. Give yourself. Perform a grace giving by giving your money. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time that we could be here this evening. Thank You, Father, for this passage of Scripture. And so, Lord, now I pray as You would speak to the hearts of Your people. Help them, Father, to understand that we are to participate in this giving, that we have a part to play in this area of giving deep inside our hearts and inside our minds. Help us, Father, begin with the preparation of grace giving by giving ourselves. And Father, may it lead us to the performance of grace giving, giving Your money. So, Father, challenge our hearts. Speak to the hearts of Your children that are gathered here this evening. And Father, if by chance, if there be someone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray, Father, before it's eternally too late, that they would trust in Christ as their Savior. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Let's stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this evening.